Well, find a dad, pat him on the back real quick, will you? There, dads, didn't that feel good? Yeah. I heard there was a dad in the house this morning. They got a chocolate donut this morning delivered here to church. Wow. I can't wait now to see what the rest of us are going to get after church. Well, hey, even though there may be some folks in the room that that aren't dads, you've got a dad, right? And there's just other men in the room. So this morning we want to try to speak to the dads. We want to try to speak to just the men in the room. And it's important that we do. It's important in our culture right now especially that we take time to let Scripture speak to us and uncover what we need to hear in terms of being godly men and having godly men in our culture. And so if you're a wife this morning and your hubby didn't join you this morning, boy, I hope you take the message notes back and you sit down with him sometime and just share some of the insight or, just send him to the webpage and let him watch, because we need to spend time just to prove to you the importance of talking about this in our culture today. In preparation, I ran across some statistics that are the reality of our world this morning. Here's what we know. 25 million children, that's 36.3%, do not live with their father. 40% of children in fatherless homes have not seen their father in the last year. 50% of children who live without their fathers have never stepped foot in their father's home. You think, okay, that's pretty bad. It gets worse. You ready? 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. 85% of children that exhibit behavior disorders are from fatherless homes. 80% of those people, men that turn out to be rapists, come from fatherless homes. 71% of high school dropouts are from fatherless homes. 75% of all adolescent patients in chemical abuse centers come from fatherless homes. 70% of juveniles in state-operated institutions come from fatherless homes. 85% of the young people that are now in prison come from fatherless homes. 70% of teen pregnancies come from fatherless homes. Are you getting a pattern? Are you getting a sense how incredibly important it is that we let God speak to us and understand what does it mean for us to be fathers in the way God designed us to be, and even more, what does it mean for us to be men? Because there's all kinds of messages out in the world right now about what it means to be a real man. So, for instance, we've been watching videos with Saturday Night Live commercials. Well, this one is not a Saturday Night Live commercial, but it's pretty close. And it sends you messages about how we understand what it means to be a manly man. So watch the screen for a minute, and some of you ladies will probably want to go shopping when this is done.
Well, then think how much you'll enjoy giving them to that certain man in your life. Mandels has candles for all types of manly men. Are you looking for that ultimate gift? Something that just says, Dad? Try grilling out, campfire, and steak sauce. Is he having the guys over for the big game and the home smells too much like a woman? Don't worry, light up one of our sport-themed mandels. Pigskin, new baseball glove, bowling alley, musty locker room. Don't know what to get the man who is admired for his manliness by other manly men? Never fear, the sweat mandel is here. Men, it's time to say goodbye to the likes of Golden Spice Pear and Seaside Holiday. And say hello to Bait Shop, Red Meat, Wet Dog, Bacon Jalapeno Cheeseburger, Fear, Hardware Store, Charcoal, Peel Out, Mud, Fried Chicken, Leather. Mandels are scientifically engineered in our German laboratories by our professors of manology. Mandels are certified all natural, 1% wax, and 99% testosterone. This offer is not valid in stores, so call now. Mandels, makers of manly mandels since 1907. Don't delay, call now.
All right. Guys are like, yeah, I want one of those. Huh? Yeah. So what's the messages that are out there in the world, and what is the real message that we need to get this morning about what it means to be a man in our culture, and especially this morning, what does it mean to be a dad in God's understanding? And again, this is important not just because of all those statistics I gave you about children, but equally just about men. So if you haven't had enough, let me give you a few more statistics. 88% of drunk drivers are men. 83% of people arrested for serious crimes are men. 85% of all murderers are committed by men. A man is more than 25 times likely to end up in state prison than a woman. Men are more likely to have ulcers, to die from cancer, pneumonia, liver disease, strokes, hardening of the arteries, and heart failure. And here's one. 75% of all suicides are men. How important is it that we take some time to just talk about what are the messages culture is giving us, and more importantly, what is the message that God wants us to get about what it means to be a man, what does it mean to be a God? Now, obviously, we can't cover all of that in one message of what do I got left? Yeah, not enough. We just can't cover it all, right? That's why we need to get men's ministry really cooking here at Christ Church, and we will. But just want to lay some things out for you this morning, take you into some biblical stuff that for you guys, you know, is an invitation, really. An invitation to take this day, this Father's Day, and look at what the opportunity is for you to move forward in being the man God wants you to be. I want to take you to a piece of scripture. It's out of 1 Thessalonians 2, and I'll read the long chunk, and then we'll unpack it, okay? It's 1 Thessalonians 2, and it's the Apostle Paul speaking to the church at Thessalonica. He says, "As apostles of Christ, we certainly had a right to make some demands of you, but instead we were like children among you, or we were like a mother feeding and caring for her own children. We loved you so much that we shared with you not only God's good news, but our own lives too. Don't you remember, dear brothers and sisters, how hard we worked among you? Night and day we toiled to earn a living so that we would not be a burden to any of you as we preached God's good news to you. You yourselves are witnesses, and so is God, that we were devout and honest and faultless toward all of you believers." Now, notice the next verse. It says, "And you know that we treated each of you as a father treats his own children." See, what we're going to hear in these passages is the Apostle Paul speaking about what it means to be a father. See, Paul was a single guy. So we look at him and say, well, he's a single guy. Okay. He understood himself in these passages to be acting towards these young children of the faith in Thessalonica the way a father ought to act if one is a godly father. And in it, we'll discover then what it means to be that godly dad. And in it, then, we'll understand what does it mean to also take those elements just in being a man. He finishes out, "We pleaded with you, encouraged you, urged you to live your lives in a way that God would consider worthy. For he called you to share in his kingdom and glory. Therefore, we never stop thanking God that when you received this message from us, you didn't think of our words as mere human ideas. You accepted what we said as the very word of God," which of course it is. "And this word continues to work in you who believe." Okay, you ready to unpack it? Here we go. Remember, we're looking at Paul, and Paul is going to treat these Thessalonica, young people in the faith, young to the faith people, as if a father. And so what can we discover about a father? First observation I'd point out for you. Men, dads, you need to learn how to genuinely express your love. You need to learn how to go ahead and express your love for those people around you, for your children, for your spouse. You just need to learn how to be able to do that. Let me show you how Paul says it. He says, as apostles of Christ, we certainly had the right to make some demands of you, but instead we were like children among you, or we were like a mother feeding and caring for her own children. We loved you so much. Isn't it great that Paul, as he's writing to these young people in the faith, young Christians in the faith, as he's writing to them, he doesn't hesitate as a man to step out and say, look, I really love you. I really do. See, he's putting down in words. He wants to make sure that they understand his love for them. And if you go into the Greek that's behind this, the Greek is an expression of love that's not just kind of a one-time, oh, I love you. But it's, I love you, and I love you, and I love you. It's an over and over, it's an intensity of love that finds its expression over and over and over and over again. See, we need to come to grips, guys, with ignoring some of the manly messages out there that tell us to be stoic and reserved and, you know, men don't cry and all that kind of stuff, right? We need to find that place in being a man that God's put us in that says we're here to express our love. And we need to make sure that we express that love to those people especially who are important in our lives. How do we know we need to do that? Because God gave us the example. If you go to Ephesians 5, God says, imitate God. Who are you supposed to imitate? God, okay? When God wanted to express his love, he expressed his love emphatically so you couldn't miss it in the person of Jesus. God expresses his love every time we get together and we gather around the table and he takes bread and he takes wine and he speaks to us in ways that we can feel and taste and understand. God keeps expressing his love for us over and over and over again. The text goes on saying in verse 2, live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. See, the text is telling us, Paul's saying, look, Jesus expressed his love for us in a way that you couldn't miss it either. All you have to do is look at the cross. Look at the cross and see how emphatic and open to the world he was able to express his love. Fathers, men, make sure that you learn how to express your love, that you make it clear in actions and in words. Deuteronomy 6 says, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and you must commit yourself wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Now look at verse 7. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road and when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. Notice how he says, repeat it, right? Repeat it how often? Again and again and again and again and again. See, he's encouraging us as parents to repeat the message that God gives us again and again and again. There's a need for us to be willing and able to repeat again and again the love, the genuine love that we have for our children and for our spouse. They need to hear it. And we need to grow and be able to express it. Express your genuine love. There was a cartoon. It was called For Better or For Worse. Have you read that one? Yeah, For Better or For Worse. The strip on one particular strip had dad walking into a room and his teenage daughter was sitting on a couch. And she was eating popcorn. So the dad came in and, sat down on the couch next to her. And he starts, eating the popcorn with her. And then there's a, one of those bubbles above dad's head. He's thinking. And inside, dad says, I remember when she was so young. I held her in my arms and loved her. It was wonderful. Now look at her. She's all grown up and such a beautiful girl. I wonder what she would think if I held her like I used to and told her again that I loved her. And he finally concludes that, well, it would probably make her uncomfortable. Of course, the daughter is sitting right next to him. She, too, is chowing down on the popcorn, and there's one of those balloons above her head as well. And in the balloon, it says, I wonder why Dad never hugs me anymore. See, we need to learn to be able to genuinely express our love and be able to express it again and again so the people around us that we love never doubt or question our love for them. Number two, you need to learn to express a transparent life. Express a transparent life. If we love our kids especially, then we will let them see our lives in transparent ways. That's what Paul did with these Thessalonica Christians. It says in verse 8, "We loved you so much that we shared with you not only God's good news, but our own lives too." What did Paul let those Christians into? We let them into his life. You know, he just didn't show up on Sunday morning and put on the kind of the pretend outfit and say, "Hey, life's good, everything's great, fantastic, I'm a wonderful guy." He let them experience him as a person. He let them into his life. If we love our children especially, we will let them see our life. So often we put this pressure on us, especially I think as dads, that somehow we have to live above the fray, that we can't show weakness, that we have to show our kids only our strength and our might and our perseverance. You see, dads, our kids can't understand our perseverance if they don't understand the challenge we're facing. They need to see our transparent lives. They need to see the challenges and the disappointments, the things that we face in faith and that we overcome. That's how they learn to overcome. We need to share with them our transparent life. And the reality is, our kids especially are always watching. They're always watching and learning from us. Country Western fans in the crowd? Yeah, you know the song that talks about my little buckaroo? Anybody know that song? Come on, help me out on this one. I'm not a big Country Western fan, but you know, I hear it around the house quite a lot. And so there's a song about a dad and his son, and the son spills the juice on the table and lets go with a little expletive about, you know, inappropriate expletive about that. And of course the dad hears that and says, "Whoa, where did you get that?" And the child's answer, of course, is, "Well, Dad, I've been watching you." Our kids are always watching. And we need to let them see the transparent nature of our lives, because that's how they watch and learn and grow. They're always watching. And we need to be able to give them something worth watching. Not the pretend that we only want them to see, but the reality of the way life really is. Because if we can let them see our lives authentically, and we can live those lives of faith that overcome, then our children will learn to do the same. They really will. Express a transparent life. Next, express unselfish diligence. Express unselfish diligence. We need to teach our kids, especially, the value of being dedicated to a purpose and to work. Paul would say it this way: "Don't you remember, dear brothers and sisters, how hard we worked among you? Night and day we toiled to earn a living so that we would not be a burden to any of you as we preach God's good news to you." What did Paul do while he was with them? He worked. See that? Yeah, he worked diligently. He worked hard. Right? We work diligently. We work hard. Our kids need to know that, and they need to know the value of that work. We forget, we biblical people, we forget that when God created Adam and Eve, the text is very clear in Genesis. It says he created Adam and Eve, and he placed them in the garden, and he placed them there for a purpose. And the purpose was to till it and keep it. That is work. Our kids need to learn the value of work. How good it feels to have that sense of accomplishment, of achieving a task. That goodness that comes from our own personal achievements in our work life. We need to be able to pass on to our kids the value of our work, not just because it's work, but because it contributes. It contributes to providing for the family. It contributes to making a better world. It contributes to moving our culture forward. They need to learn the value of our dedication to our work. The scripture is pretty clear on this one. In fact, there's a verse in 1 Timothy 5 that's really a harsh verse. It says this: people who don't take care of their relatives, and especially their own families, have given up their faith. They are worse than someone who doesn't have faith in the Lord. Whoa. Does that feel harsh? I mean, that's pretty stern stuff. He's pointing to the value of the responsibility of taking care of those in the family, of providing for those in the family. Now, I understand we've got to be careful here, because there's going to be a lot of other pastors in pulpits throughout the country this morning scolding dads and saying you work too hard. And I'm certainly not telling you to ignore your responsibilities to your family, but I am telling you, teach your kids to value what you do. Teach them to value what you do. And yes, you need to make sure you balance your responsibility to work with your responsibility to them. To make sure you're at those soccer games and you're at those piano recitals and you're at all those significant places in your kids' lives, that they understand they are far more important than the expectations that the world puts upon you. But nevertheless, express an unselfish diligence. Help them to understand the importance of work. Next one, express to them genuine faith. Express to them genuine faith. Paul lived with these people not just to share the good news, but to show them the good news, to express his faith. He said it this way in verse 10, "You yourselves are our witnesses, and so is God, that we were devout and honest and faultless toward all of you believers." Men, we have to make sure that we are men who stand up and stand out for God, that our kids know and understand that we believe in Jesus Christ and we follow his teachings. Our kids need to understand, and they understand it through you. I've told this to a lot of parents, and I say it again, say it pretty frequently. It's just the way it is in my world. You need to understand, moms and dads, that your children will understand more about what it means to follow Jesus Christ from you than they ever will from me. Now, I'm going to work my hardest. I'm going to take advantage of every opportunity I have to speak into their life. Boy, wait till I get them in confirmation. But you're the ones that really teach them about what it means to follow Christ. You really are. And you need to help them understand the genuineness of your faith. Live that faith so that they understand it, and repeat it and repeat it and repeat it. The Bible is really intent on that when it comes to parents, of making sure that the parent understands the importance of passing that faith on to the next generation. Deuteronomy 11, this goes again. Now, we heard it before in Deuteronomy, was it 4? Now we're going to hear it in Deuteronomy 11, and it's the same language. It says, memorize these laws and think about them. Write down copies and tie them on your wrists and your foreheads to help you obey them. Teach them to your children. Talk about them all the time, whether you're at home or walking along the road or going to bed at night or getting up in the morning. Write them on the door frames of your homes and on your town gates. Then you and your descendants will live a long time in the land that the Lord promised your ancestors. Your families will live there as long as the sky is above the earth. How important in the Bible is it that we live a genuine, transparent faith for our kids? Live a genuine, transparent faith for your kids so that they get the truth that will help them endure and overcome the life they have to face, whatever the challenges is. And our kids are going to face the challenges. They're going to face the challenges just like we face the challenges. And they need that faith that will help them endure and overcome. It leads to the next one. Make sure you express God's call on their life. Make sure you express God's call on their life. Dads, moms, you can do it too, but dads, I'm speaking to you today. Make sure that you go to your kids and you tell them that God has a purpose and a dream for their life. As a dad, let me give a personal witness. I've shared it before, but it's so important to me, I'll share it again. You know, I look back at raising my kids, and I think I got some great kids. I look back at raising them. One of the best things I did as a dad, as a godly dad, I went into their room almost every night. Each room almost every night, and I spoke to each of the children every night, and I told them every night, God's got something incredible for you in your life. Every night I told them that. God's got something incredible for your life. God's got something for you to do. He's got some incredible stuff ahead of you for your life. I just told them every single night. I think that's one of the best things I did as a dad, was to remind my children every night that God has a call on their life. That when I brought them and Jill brought our kids to baptism and God put water on them and put the mark of the cross on their forehead and on their breast and said, look, this is my child now. And God poured into them the gifts that He wanted them to have to accomplish this dream and purpose for their life, to remind them of that moment. And young people, if you haven't heard it from anybody else, I want to speak to you this morning and have you hear it. God has an incredible call on your life. He has a purpose and a dream for your life. He has something in store for you that you haven't even imagined yet, but He has dreamed about from the beginning of time. God has something for you to accomplish in your life that will live to His purpose and glory. Remember it. Remember it. That goes for the rest of us as well, but make sure, dads, you express that call. Paul said it this way, we pleaded with you, encouraged you, and urged you to live your lives in a way that God would consider worthy, for He called you to share in His kingdom and glory. Do you see what Paul just said? What did he do? He pleaded, he encouraged, he urged, he kept doing it, he kept telling them, he wanted to make sure they got it. You got to tell them again and again and again and again that God's got something great for them. God's got something great for them to share in His kingdom and to share in His glory, and it's going to be awesome. Remind them of God's call on their life. Last one. If you're going to take that step, you have to take the next step. And it's probably the hardest of all the steps. It is to express a desire for God to work in your children's lives. To express that God would do exactly what God wants to do in your children's lives. Now there's the hitch. You see, dads, you have to be able to step back and say, hey, God, do it. Whatever it is you want in their life. And you've got to step back. Even if God is going to send them and do with them something you just don't understand. But God desires. You have to pray for God. Urge God. Remind God of His promise to you and to your children that He would do this great work in their life. Pray that your young men, your boys would grow up to be godly men. Pray that your daughters would grow up to be godly women. Start praying now, even if they're only this tall. Start praying now that God would bring the right man or the right woman into their life. Start praying now that God would do whatever it is that God wants to do in their lives. And when God begins doing it, you have to let Him. You have to let Him, even though you don't always understand it. It's a great day for us to be men and to be dads. It's also a day for us to just kind of bask in that and celebrate that and enjoy chocolate donuts and whatever else God's got in store for us today. So dads, have a great day. Just bask in it. Enjoy being a dad. Enjoy being a man. But part of this day, I want to ask you, take part of this day to spend some time with God and ask God to make you the dad He wants you to be. Ask God to make you the man that He wants you to be. Ask Him to tenderly teach you and encourage you and grow you into the dad and the man He's dreamed you can be. And let God have the reins in your life. Let God be the one that sets the direction. And let God be the one who is your incredible Father like no other. Let's pray this morning.